Hi, I'm Linda Holmes. I'm here with the Pop Culture Happy Hour team, Stephen Thompson, Aisha Harris, and Glenn Weldon. Hi, guys.
Hey.
Hey.
So you know what I was doing this weekend? If you follow me on Twitter, I was watching Columbo. It's wonderful for the Peter Falk, the excellent clothes, the crazy guest stars. And you know how I found it? I bumped into it because I was watching a director's commentary from Rian Johnson, and he mentioned Columbo. So I do a lot of bumping. Do you guys bump into a lot of things that you wind up watching? Aisha, do you do that, or you're bumping into things?
I'm sort of bumping into things. I think that happens often when I'm on Twitter and people tell me about things I should bump into.
That's right. And it's our job to bump into things. But in these difficult times, not everybody has time to bump into things. You need a little direction. We do the bumping for you. That's what we are here for. We are professional bumpers into things on television that you can watch. Glenn, you're a bumper into.
Yeah, absolutely. Most of the podcasts that I listen to, I have bumped into when somebody recommends them on a podcast.
That's right. And to support our bumping so that we can support your bumping, you can go to donate.npr.org/happy. And that way you can support your local station and public radio and us. And we will help you bump into things well into the new year. It's the end of 2020 and the beginning of 2021, as much as it seemed like we might never get here. And that means we're looking back and we're looking ahead. What did we resolve to do in 2020? Did we do it? And what do we want to do in the year ahead?
We've still got goals, we've still got plans, and we've still got the willingness to look back at our ambitious plans and wonder what in the world happened to all of them. I'm Stephen Thompson.
And I'm Linda Holmes. It's resolutions time once again on Pop Culture Happy Hour from NPR. Here with me and Stephen is Glenn Weldon of the NPR Arts Desk. Hi, Glenn.
Hey, Linda.
And joining our annual tradition for the very first time and therefore free of any resolutions for which she has to be accountable is our newest host, Aisha Harris. Hi, Aisha.
Hey, Linda.
This is the best way to join this, by the way. You got no past resolutions
that you know
to
of.
Consider.
Just a newborn baby.
It's all forward looking. So we're going to hop right into it. Glenn, I want to hear, let's listen back. No moaning yet. Let's listen to Glenn's 2020 resolution.
I am going to get at least one ab. they don't necessarily have
Does
to be mine.
Does it matter, like, which ab?
Yeah, that's right. Look, I have never, I am 51 hell damn ass years old. Never had an ab. Not a one. One. One big one. But, you know, even when I was swimming competitively, you know, Weldon men just carry their weight around their midsection. It's just what we do. I couldn't figure out why I was not losing the spare tire, even when I was really, really active. And then I went to a Weldon family get together and I was like, oh, here it is. Genetic destiny.
But, well, unfortunately, it just gets easier as you get older.
See, this is the thing. This is why I'm doing it this year, as a matter of fact. Because if I don't do it now, my metabolism is not getting any faster. So I am going to push through this thing. And actually, that's my commitment over the course of this year. Now, it's going to require some sacrifice, even more sacrifice than I have been making. Because I, you know, I enjoy the occasional post-prandial tipple.
Of an evening, a dry sherry, perhaps.
And that's going to have to, a lot of that's going to have to go away because that's just, so if that doesn't qualify, my other quick resolution is that I will start up the D&D campaign here at NPR, which I've been promising to do, even if that means I have to DM it, which I don't want to do because I know I'm a lousy DM because all I want is for my players to love me. So I just keep, when I was a kid, I got a lot of popular kids at school. They came over to my house. We played D&D and I just kept throwing super powerful magical items at them that broke the game. I mean, at one point they killed Lolth, Queen of the Demon Wed Pits. They killed a spider god, an unkillable spider god, which, you know, you're just not supposed to be able to do. The game is written so you cannot kill her, and I had them kill her and get lots
you
and lots and lots
the
of
game
loot.
With your love.
I did. I just want to be loved. So so both of those things, abs and DM, my two passions.
So, Glenn.
Oh, boy.
Seems like it was a perfect year for a lot of sacrifice and gym time.
My reaction listening to that is A,
And B, oh, you sweet summer child. what you didn't know. This was not the year for abs. In no way was it the year for abs. It was the year of stress eating and stress drinking and stress lying on the floor staring at the ceiling and stress rocking back and forth in the shower while keening, I think is the word. It was a year of just hopeless and helpless indolence and not having the will to get up and cross the floor to get a drink of water. And if you were me, it was also the year of carbo-loading as if you were worried that a impromptu swim team meet might break out the next day and you had to be prepared. So more power to all those who kept their fitness goals during this. I mean, looking back, I did okay. But to achieve abs given Weldonian genetics and a 52-year-old metabolism, I would have had to do better than okay. I would have had to been perfect. 2020 was not the year of perfect. Nothing about it was perfect. No. So let that go.
I have to say, Glenn, the fact that you rocked back and forth in the shower puts you one up on me in 2020 because that means you took one.
Well, okay. So I'm going to give me 1 point for that then.
Yeah.
However, if we break this down, I did join a D&D game.
Yes, you did.
Now, we have to do an asterisk here because it's not at NPR. It is my nephew who is the DM. So I don't have to be the DM because I hate being the DM because it's basically like being a manager. So this group is all people that came together through a website called D20, which says, I want to join a group so that it puts you together. It's completely online, of course, as it would have to be this year. And it's not the D&D I remember. I love rolling the dice and hearing that. And on this thing, you go to the chat and you type /roll1d20. It's very similar to HTML. It's too similar to HTML. It's giving me some brown acid flashbacks. But I'm really digging it. I'm not playing with friends. I'm playing with strangers who I'm getting to know online. And I switched it up. Instead of playing a mage, which is what I always do, and I just kind of hang back and throw fireballs from a distance, I'm playing this Goliath, this bruiser who is a fighter, not a thinker. His name is Norm with a silent G. And I wrote his backstory where he was exiled from his clan for refusing to marry the woman he was betrothed to, because it turns out Norm doesn't swing that way. So, you know, queer in the space. Always queer in the space.
Saw that coming.
Yeah.
I understood about, half of what you just said.
As you should. There's no reason you should. So, abs, F, and DM, I mean, B plus, right? Because it's not at NPR and I'm not the DM, but B plus.
Yeah, B plus at least. Yeah, solid. So what do you want to resolve for 2021?
All right. I'm going to start and finish a podcasting project that has nothing to do with NPR. I'm going to do it with pal and friend of the show, Chris Klimek. It will be a deep dive into the 1960s British science fiction series, The Prisoner, which ran for one season of 17 episodes. So, you know, it's niche. But it's also, I think this is the appeal for me anyway, it's self-contained. We'll do maybe 20 episodes at most, and then it'll be done. We're going to call it Degree Absolute, which makes sense if you've seen the series. And again, we're still planning this, but I'm doing that Babe Ruth thing where I'm pointing at the stands, the peck wall, calling my shot. Is that what it is? Yeah, uh-huh. Calling my shot. I'm going to say it's going to happen this year. If you want to get ahead of the game, The Prisoner, all 17 episodes, is now streaming on Amazon Prime. It's very weird and stylish and deeply allegorical, so there'll be lots to talk about. And it's also kind of goofy, so it'll be fun to talk about. So that's what I'm going to do.
Very nice. I appreciate that, Glenn. I think that's good, and I will listen to it. All right. Stephen Thompson, you are up.
Oh, man.
Let's hear your resolution from 2020.
One thing that I also resolved to do in 2019 that I didn't do as much was take in a lot of pop culture with other people. And the one area where I've started to dip my toe in and have a tiny bit of success is going to concerts with my 15-year-old daughter. Mm-hmm, nice. She has suddenly had a huge musical awakening where she is in love with specifically the music that I listened to in college. She loves Green Day. She loves Nirvana. And so we've started to take her to a couple of concerts. We took her to a Slater Kinney show. We took her to Odessa show. In 2020, I resolved to take my daughter to at least one concert a month for the entire year. Because it is such an opportunity to enjoy these things together. Now, one way, for example, that we enjoyed Slater Kinney together was we got to a point at the venue where we said, okay, the show's about to begin. She handed me her phone and disappeared for 90 minutes. And when the show was over and everybody was filing out of the venue, she strolled back like nothing had happened. So
I don't understand the part where she gave you her phone.
Yeah. So I couldn't call her or track her down in any way.
Holy moly.
Yeah. Well, one other resolution for 2020. I intend to partake of what I am calling silent social media Saturdays. It doesn't necessarily have to be Saturday, but one day every week, I will not only not post on social media, which I take days off from that all the time, but I will not read social media for at least one day every week in 2020. In a year in which a lot of people are going to be doing a lot of things on social media, I'm trying to check out of it as much as I can.
Wow. Oh, Stephen.
Stephen, I felt that one. I felt that one in my heart.
I feel like you jinxed us with that first one. It's your fault.
When you said, I'm going to take my daughter to at least one, I was like, sure, okay. That's, like, that's January through March, sure.
Yeah, you had 2.5 months to get that done.
And then once a month. Oh, Stephen.
Yeah, I mean, you know how all of us caused this pandemic in one way or another. The biggest way that I caused the pandemic was in February, saying to my partner, man, I just really need a couple days around the house.
Oh, yes.
That resolution also caused the pandemic. And for that, I deeply apologize. I mean, obviously, F minus, we didn't go to concerts in 2020. Nobody went to concerts in 2020. I did show her some musically themed movies. We watched Rocky Horror Picture Show and Rock and Roll High School. If I were a student begging for a better grade from a professor, I would go in during their office hours and demand a D minus on that basis. But let's face it, that one's an F.
No, it would be like NA.
Yeah.
Like when you can have a medical, you can like medically drop a class and then they don't fail you.
Yep.
At Oberlin, they called it NE, no entry. You could just NE the class. They just.
All right. I will take my NE with pride.
What about the social media thing?
So the social media thing was a little bit more of a mixed bag. I would probably give myself a C on that front. I did regularly take a day or two at a time off from social media. I didn't necessarily do it as a designated once a week thing. I knew that this was going to be a very, very tricky challenge going into the election. And one of the reasons I made that prediction was that I didn't want to spend the year doom scrolling about the news of the day. And fortunately, no one was doom scrolling about the news of the day in 2020.
Mm-hmm, yeah, totally unnecessary.
It was a happy-go-lucky year. But I did manage to take days off here and there and really focused my kind of OCD nervous scrolling energy on Pokemon Go.
Oh, cool. Good idea.
So it's less political.
Sure.
So I'm going to give myself like a solid C on silent social media Saturdays, which I still recommend and still do try to embark on every now and then.
I get that. All right. So what is your resolution for 2021?
Well, I think one of my resolutions is kind of based on a certain amount of acceptance that it's very likely that we spend most of 2021 at home. We spend it alone. We spend it in our houses. We're not going to get to like go out into the world. As such, I'm kind of resolving and hoping to go easy on myself and kind of encouraging other people in the spirit of what Linda does on Twitter with, you know, telling people you're doing great. I mean, as long as you're being safe and protecting vulnerable people, you're doing fine. And having ambitious resolutions to go to concerts like I was trying to do, you know, as long as you're getting by and being safe, you're doing okay. One resolution that I really am going to try to carry off in 2020 is create more and better ways to listen to music at home. One thing that was hugely disrupted for me in 2020 was my ability to just like sit down and just take in an enormous amount of new music, which is a big, big part of my job as a person who works for NPR Music. Well, the biggest way that I listened to music in the before times was in my car and going from place to place. And I would listen to new albums and sample new artists. And I didn't have that kind of built-in mechanism for listening to new music. So in 2021, I will be setting up more turntables. I will be setting up more speakers. I will be setting up more ways to randomly and ambiently have music on around the house that do not involve setting up any one of those godforsaken Amazon Spybot machines that I reject on principle. But I will create a more musically fertile environment around the house I intend to rarely leave.
All right. Musically fertile. I like the idea of all kinds of fertility, musical included. Thank you very much, Stephen Thompson. Aisha Harris, again, you have no resolution to look back on. There's no need for you to judge yourself. All you need to do is tell me what resolution you would make for 2021.
Yes, I am starting with an A+. I'm very happy.
Well, I mean, you got a new job this year.
This is true. There we go. So my resolution, I miss what I used to be when I was younger, which was the type of person, the type of sort of pop culture nerd who would get really obsessed, or at least like obsessive about a specific thing or person or movie or director. I would go down lots of rabbit holes of Gene Kelly. I'm going to watch all of Gene Kelly's movies, or I'm going to watch every Disney animated feature ever created and learn about them. And I feel as though my brain can't do that as much anymore. I feel like social media and the internet have broken it, and all of my interests have been fractured. And part of it is also like the nature of this job is that I'm constantly watching things for this job.
Oh, we all understand, believe me.
But I haven't had as much time to like really go deep on specific things that I would love to go deeper on. And so my resolution is that throughout the year, I want to do a deep dive into 6 different performers, whether they are actors or choreographers, dancers, or anything sort of arts related, but performers. If I was going to go through this with, say, screen actors, I would do, let's see, 2 months for one specific actor. I'd watch at minimum 5 of their films, and then I'd read the reviews that came out around those films and also try to find any like definitive literature about them as a performer. And that'll be kind of my homework, and I'll do 2 months for each person of these 6. So that should take me through the whole year. For now, I haven't solidified my list yet. If people want to throw out ideas on Twitter, or Steven, you're raising your hand.
I've got one. Rihanna. So you watch Battleship, watch Valerian and the City of 1,000 Planets or whatever it was called.
She's only in that for like 10 minutes.
Stop trying to sabotage Aisha's excellent-sounding resolution, Stephen Thompson.
Aisha, it sounds like there's going to be a spreadsheet. Will there be a spreadsheet?
Oh, there will be a spreadsheet. I plan to take copious notes because that's what I do, or at least what I try to do. And so I'm thinking at least the people I definitely want to include are Alfre Woodard and Thelma Ritter. Mm-hmm. And I've seen, you know, quite a few of their films, but I haven't taken them all in at once, per se. And there are a lot of films of theirs that I haven't seen or haven't seen in years. Yeah. So, I'm going to just do a deep dive on 6 different artists. And there'll be a spreadsheet, and maybe it could be like future podcast content. Who knows?
Mm-hmm. Love it.
That's a great idea. I might do that.
Yeah.
Thank you very much, Aisha Harris. So first, let's listen to my resolution from last year. I recently either saw a conversation on Twitter or read something where somebody was talking about a phenomenon that I have noticed in myself, which is we have reached a point where there is so much new content available that all I want to do is watch things I've already seen on Netflix. Mm-hmm. It's almost like it expands and expands and expands, and then it's so overwhelming that you just collapse in on yourself and watch the same season of SVU that you've already seen.
For example,
speaking of trying to watch fewer Grisly Murders.
Yeah.
I'm doing a poor job in the sense that I still do watch a lot of Law and Order.
It's like when your house is so messy that all you can do is take a nap.
And it's a specific phenomenon I've started to talk to people about, where people are marathoning shows they've already seen because it's hard to pick something. So I'm not necessarily trying to get rid of the marathon. I'm trying to get rid of the already been there-a-thon. So I'm trying not to lose hours and hours just binging things I know I've already seen, or already seen in some cases more than once. Because you can really just turn on those Law & Order marathons or Hallmark Nine-Nine movie marathons. Well, I might make an exception for Brooklyn Nine-Nine. I mean, come on, man. But within reason.
Is there a metric here? Is there like, how can you measure?
The metric, let's see. What would I call the metric? I am going to try to watch no more than 2 episodes of Law & Order in a row.
That's a good one.
For all of 2020.
I like it. Solid. I like that.
So, funny thing.
Yeah.
The principle of this, I did not really obey, in the sense that I watched plenty of things I had already seen. I have recently been watching old seasons of Top Model. I have been watching all kinds of things. But the metric I chose was Law & Order. And Law & Order and Law & Order SVU were very common marathon things for me. And I did, in fact, stop completely watching them both when the conversations about the portrayals of police in media, when I paid more attention to those more thoughtfully than I had in the past. And it just became very hard for me to watch those particular shows, which often celebrate a lot of unconstitutional behavior and bad behavior and unethical behavior. And I did, in fact, give up both of those shows. And I gave them up very abruptly and have not had any return to them. I haven't completely decided whether that applies to absolutely everything. Brooklyn Nine-Nine hasn't come back yet. It's a show that I really have loved in the past. I haven't quite decided what I want to do about that yet. I certainly have not watched old ones. And this is all in the last probably, you know, 6 to 7 months. So in a weird way, I did it, but not for the reason I meant to do it. And in some ways, I observed it more in letter than in spirit. But in letter, as it turns out, I did observe it. So I guess I would give myself like a B minus, because I don't think I really observed the principle. But as it turns out, I did it. Right thing for the wrong reason.
I would give you some extra credit for that, because your motivation was there's so much stuff. But 2020 came along and threw a curveball to everything and cause people to want to go back and revisit things. Now,
yeah, no, that's true.
For a very laudable reason, you didn't go back and visit those particular shows. But the idea of not going back and watching something you love, that got tested really hard in this particular year.
Yeah, it was not a great year to be like, I'm going to constantly be challenging myself and pushing against all of what my impulses are. I think I did okay. My resolution for 2021, you know, as Stephen mentioned, I have tried really hard to kind of, you know, recommend to other people and practice for myself being reasonable with yourself about your expectations. And I decided I would just go back to a very bedrock, very simple and doable resolution, which is I want to read 50 books. And a lot of people read 50 books. A lot of people read way more than 50 books. I think our producer, Jessica Reedy, reads like 150 books. But I want to read 50 books. I want to try to keep track of them. And I think that's doable. I think it's going to be good for me. I think it is a way to keep kind of expanding my mind a little bit and looking for new things. So that is the resolution, 50 books. Very simple.
One of the resolutions that I considered, this is a true story, was read 3 books. And I decided not to.
Look, it's a hard time, man. To some degree, as you said, as long as you're getting up and you're taking care of yourself and the people that you love and you're being as careful as you can and you're being as kind as you can to the people who have to actually go out and be out in the world working in the middle of all of this and you're tipping generously and all those things, then I think you just have to be as gentle with yourself as you possibly can. And that's what I intend to do while sitting at home and reading my books. That brings us to the end of our roundup of our resolutions. We would love to know what your resolutions are for the new year. You can find us on Facebook at facebook.com/PCHH, or you can tweet us at PCHH. When we come back, it's going to be time to talk about what's making us happy this week, so don't go away.
This message comes from NPR sponsor, Blank Family of Businesses. Looking for the perfect gift for the leaders in your life? Look no further than Good Company, a national bestseller and a Forbes Top 10 Business Book of 2020 by Arthur M. Blank. Blank knows a thing or two about leadership, as he is not only the co-founder of the Home Depot, he is also the owner of the Atlanta Falcons and Atlanta United, and a world-renowned philanthropist. Get Good Company at arthurblank.com.
Welcome back to Pop Culture Happy Hour. It's time for our favorite segment of this week and every week. What's making us happy this week? Glenn Weldon, what is making you happy this week, buddy?
Well, as we've touched on here, 2020 sucked, and it's caused us all to look backwards, you know, culturally and emotionally, but also musically. This was the year, after all, that several pop shantuses offered up new albums that are profoundly, they have a profoundly four on the floor, old school disco sound. Your Lady's Gaga, your Dua's Lipa. It's like surgeons generally, you have to do it like that. Those albums, solid as they were, I love them both. When you step back from them, they feel like half measures. There's a hedging quality to them because, of course, these artists have their eye on the latest trends, on the fickle taste of the public. So they got one stiletto heel in 1978, but one in 2020. You know who didn't go halfway, who didn't hesitate, who didn't gauge or calculate, who threw herself on the dance floor with both Blonix, and who, just so people on the back row could hear, named her album Disco? Miss Kylie Minogue. Now, some wags, some churls, have said since the album came out earlier this year that every song sounds the same. I would say what they're actually hearing is that the album boasts a comforting sonic cohesion. And always she's out there, she's asking the tough questions, the eternal questions, the eschatological questions that have stymied philosophers for lo these many centuries. Questions like, where does the DJ go, go, go when the party's over tonight? I. This album, I gotta tell you, man, I love it. It's exactly what this lousy, benighted year needed desperately. It's the Kylie Minogue album, Disco.
So the Kylie Minogue album, Disco, is what is making you happy this week, Glenn Weldon?
This year, yes.
All right. Thank you very much, buddy. Aisha Harris, what is making you happy this week?
Well, Twitter is a cesspool. We all know this. But it can also bring lots of joy. And I want to shout out one Twitter feed that has been just a bright light in this terrible, horrible year. It is at History Muppet, and it is run and created by Joshua Gillespie. He does a great job of just offering all the Muppet content you could possibly want. He tweets quite frequently. There are lots of old photos that I've never seen of Jim Henson and behind the scenes of like Carol Spinney and other famous Muppet puppeteers, and clips that you remember from your childhood or clips that you might not have seen before. Like, I completely forgot that at one point Kermit the Frog and the Muppets did like a music video ode to the Talking Heads, and it's fantastic. So, and I think also the account often offers just like really helpful tidbits to people of like, if you're worried about someone at the holidays, just feel free to check up on them. You know, don't worry, you're not alone. And then there's like a picture of Kermit, you know, hugging another Muppet character. It's just a lot of joy. I highly recommend it. And once again, that is at History Muppet, and enjoy it. It's great.
Yes, at History Muppet, making Aisha Harris happy this week. Stephen Boom Boom Thompson, what is making you happy this week, buddy?
Well, it has in many ways been the year of Phoebe Bridgers, a wonderful, wonderful singer-songwriter that I have been recommending for years and years now. She's had an enormous year, and I have been super served in the last month or two with an extraordinary amount of unexpected Phoebe Bridgers content to close out my year. First, she teamed up with the singer Maggie Rogers to do a cover of Iris by the Goo Goo Dolls. She teamed up with Phoebe Waller-Bridge to make a video for her song Savior Complex that stars Paul Mescal from Normal People, thus making my family, particularly my partner and I, feel super served in ways that we did not expect to be. It has been a remarkable year for Phoebe Bridgers. She's nominated for a bunch of Grammys, which is really exciting. She put out a fantastic record called Punisher. That's one of my favorites of the year. But just at the end of the year, just the icing on what has been a pretty unpleasant cake in 2020 has been getting super served with a bunch of fantastic and unexpected Phoebe Bridgers content.
All right, Phoebe Bridgers content. Thank you very much, Stephen Thompson. What is making me happy this week? As Aisha mentioned, Twitter is a cesspool. This is a given. But I wanted to shout out a thread that I think will bring a lot of joy to a lot of people, which comes from Mike DiCenzo, who is a comedy writer and funny TV person. And it's called How Gilmore Girls Characters Would Respond to the Pandemic. I'll just give you a couple of examples. It says, Lorelai makes her own masks from old concert t-shirts, has rewatched every movie made before 1950, uses COVID as an excuse to get out of Friday night dinners, but then has to Zoom into them. One of my favorites, Rory, seasons 1 to 4, wears a mask everywhere to sleep, shower between bites of food. Seasons 5 to 7, goes to a COVID super spreading party with Logan. That's a very funny joke if you watched Gilmore Girls. Another one I very much like, Luke delivers food to Lorelai and Rory every day, wears a plain black mask until Lorelai gives him a colorful one she made, then wears that every day, even after the pandemic is over. That's actually very sweet, even though the thread is very funny. And it's like eerily accurate. It has 100,000 plus likes and people have responded really positively to it. And I think there are so many threads like that and so few of them are super good. But that one is super good. And that is what is making me happy this week/month/year. And that brings us to the end of our show. If you want links for what we recommended, plus some more recommendations that are exclusive to our newsletter, subscribe to that over at npr.org/popculturenewsletter. You can find all of us on Twitter. You can find me at Linda Holmes. You can find Steven at I Dislike Steven. You can find Glenn at G.H. Weldon. You can find Aisha at Crafting My Style. You can find our editor, Jessica Reedy, at Jessica_Reedy. Our producer, Candace Lim, at The Candace Lim. You can find producer Will Jarvis at Willie Frederick. And you can follow producer Mike Katziff at Mike Katziff, K-A-T-Z-I-F. Mike's band, Hello Come In, provides the music you're bobbing your head to right now. Thanks to all of you for being here to deal with our resolutions for this year and next year.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you.
And thank you for listening to Pop Culture Happy Hour from NPR. If you'd like to support the work we do at Pop Culture Happy Hour and at NPR, donate to your local member station at donate.npr.org/happy. Again, that's donate.npr.org/happy. We will see you all next week.
2020 had a lot of us rethinking our lives. 2021, Life Kit wants to help you make those changes, whether they're big or small. All this January, Life Kit will give you smart tips to think through your next decision. Listen now to the Life Kit podcast from NPR.